Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
We often associate heart attacks with cholesterol, but there is growing research to suggest that infections are also responsible. Here to tell us about a new study that could revolutionise how we diagnose, treat and prevent heart attacks is Professor Claudia Monaco. She's a professor of cardiovascular information at the University of Oxford. Welcome to the programme, Claudia. Maybe you might start off by talking about what causes a heart attack as far as we know right now.
Oh, Jonathan, it's a pleasure to be here and talk to you. It's Well, we have been trying to put together all the pieces of this puzzle, you know, what causes a heart attack. And of course, our lifestyle, our risk factors, the traditional risk factors are still very, very important. However, we cannot explain all of the causes of heart attack without taking into account some elements of the immune system. So the immune system is what helps us fight off infections. Mm-hmm. It's usually situated in the blood. It's circulating cells and they recognize everything that we encounter.
You're talking about T cells and other types of cells that recognize infections, recognize pathogens and usually remove them.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. T cells, monocytes, macrophages, there are a lot of these little fighters. They are very small, but they are very effective. And we know that in the heart attack, when there is a blockage within the artery, this blockage is also composed of these immune cells, of these white cells that are coming from the blood. And usually we think that get upset, let's say, because they find cholesterol in the arteries. But now we found that there is other elements in the artery which can activate these cells and make them react and cause more problems. And we found evidence of bacteria. So bacteria are present in the environment, are present also within the body, in our mouth, in the gut. But now we find them also in the arteries. Isn't that fascinating?
So typically when we look at, post-heart attack, we look at the site of the heart attack and there's cholesterol, but we thought maybe the immune system was there because of the cholesterol, but now we're seeing actually there's bacteria that's the reason why these T cells, macrophages and other things are appearing at the site of the heart attack. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we found evidence that there are also bacteria within the arteries. So we were able to recognize a high diversity of these bacteria. But in particular, we identified one which can reside in the mouth and that is contained into the arteries of patients. So while we are not saying that cholesterol is not important anymore, we think that traditional risk factors like cholesterol, smoke, sedentary lifestyle, obesity, diabetes are still important. Mm. But this is telling us that perhaps also bacteria may be important because they activated cells, which are the first responders when there is an infection. And actually, we proved that some of these bacteria can very directly activate our white cells. And when they are activated, they can cause further damage within the arteries, leading eventually to a heart attack.
So let me get this straight. You're saying that bacteria from what? Cavities in our teeth? From just infections in our teeth can actually leach into our bloodstream and cause problems in our heart?
Yes. Isn't that surprising? It's extremely novel concept. We have to study more about it. But this is precisely what are the implications of the study.
This particular idea, though, it's not brand new, though, is it that bacteria from the mouth could be responsible for heart disease? I thought I heard about it a couple of years ago. Or is this the first study that's proven it? And if so, how did you do that?
Well, we have always hypothesized that this might be important. We know that there are several conditions like periodontal disease and other conditions which are sort of associated with an increased risk of disease.
Right. You're talking about a correlation there between poor mouth disease and poor heart disease.
Exactly.
Yeah, right, okay.
But to be able to actually prove that there is a direct link between this, we had to use a new technology which is able to sequence extensively the DNA, the genetic code of bacteria. Huh. So this is usually a technique that has become really into the mainstream because this is how we assess the diversity of our gut microbiome.
Mm.
But this time, we applied it to the arteries, and we found that also in the blood vessels, there is a repertoire of this bacteria. There is a presence of several of these bacteria, and that can give an extra kick to the arteries and cause further damage.
So how do we know that the bacteria came from the mouth as opposed to the bacteria were in the blood and traveled to the mouth?
Well, we don't know. We cannot answer. Of course, these bacteria are in this study with my collaborators, Pekka Karunen, which really led on this. We were able to test a high number of tissues derived from arteries. Mm. So we really discovered how widespread is this deposition. But what we cannot know directly is the origin.
Right.
But they can come from several sources within the body and outside.
So how do you know that this bacteria is related to damage to the heart? And if the bacteria is sort of everywhere, how do we know it just happens to be there and it's everywhere and it's benign?
Well, it is possible. But what we show is also that this sort of mix that we find in the arteries is able to activate directly immune cells in the blood.
Right.
So it is possible that this is it's not only a trace of something just sitting there, but it has the potential to exacerbate inflammation.
So cholesterol is a problem. Infection could also be a problem. What about plaques? How does plaque fit into this particular issue when it comes to heart disease and heart attack?
Well, plaques are the main lesions of cardiovascular disease. This has formed over the lifetime of the individual. And it is an accumulation of lipids and connective tissues and immune cells and other structural cells. It is, in reality, it's like a small growth which is impeding the flow. So this is a primary lesion. What is probably quite a shock to know usually for people is that after a certain age, like 30, 35, all of us have plaques in coronary arteries, which are the arteries of the heart, and other vasculature. So it's quite common to have plaques.
Mm.
But only a small percentage, a very small percentage of these plaques eventually will give problems.
Right.
So the question is, why there is this discrepancy? Why we have a lot of these plaques, and most individuals will not have any problems, but there is a small percentage which evolves. And this is the piece of the puzzle that I was telling you about, because there is a lot of mystery regarding what really kicks the plaque into being a bad plaque. So we usually call it the culprit plaque.
Huh.
So is the culprit of the heart attack, for example. And we use that terminology because you may have three plaques, but it's only one that is going to give you problems. And what in particular is that feature of the culprit plaque is still a little bit of a mystery.
So just clarify this for me in my head. When you get a heart attack, what exactly is happening? How do these things come together to stop your heart?
Well, it's possibly for some time, let's say an individual has grown this plaque within within the coronary artery. And this plaque is limiting a little bit the flow going to the heart, but not in a critical manner. Let's say this hypothetical individual, he will only have symptoms, for example, every now and then when he does 4 flights of stairs, when he's a bit more exercised, if he'll feel a little pain, but nothing major.
Yeah.
So in that case, the plaque, we call it stable. When there are some events, and the precipitating events, usually we don't know, could be a high blood pressure, then it starts a process of weakening of the plaque, which usually leads to what we call a plaque rupture. So the plaque starts
to break up,
stable anymore. It starts breaking up, breaking off. And this causes immediately the clotting system to start becoming active to prevent any further damage. But in doing so, it creates even more blockage and even more obstruction.
So this makes sense to me. The idea that an artery is becoming narrower and narrower because of deposition of plaque over time, that when it ruptures, then blocks up the artery, stops the blood flow and causes a heart attack, gets heart tissue damage, and that's, that can be fatal, right? But the part of the infection, do we know how an infection might trigger this? Does the bacteria sort of break up the plaque? Do we have any idea why or how that might happen from your research?
Well, any form of activation of the immune system, could be a bacteria, could be a virus, could be too much cholesterol, will end up in the secretion and the formation of a lot of inflammatory mediators.
Right.
But also enzymes which cut up the connective tissues, which keep the plaque stable.
Right.
So suddenly you would have this weakening, which is due to the immune cells and also the stromal cells to start producing enzymes called matrix metalloproteinases and other enzymes that chops up basically the protective cap, which is on top of the plaque.
Right. So potentially, although this is yet to be proven, but potentially these enzymes, these essential scissors, arrive to do some anti-inflammatory stuff because there's bacteria there. And as a result, they sort of cut up the plaque that then floats about and could potentially cause heart disease. Is this a controversial theory, or is this a sort of theory that's starting to get a little bit more traction because of your research?
Well, I think now that we prove that there is the possibility of a high content of bacteria within human plaques, yes, there is a possibility that this is a contributing factor. Remember, this cardiovascular disease and heart attack and stroke are multifactorial diseases. So it's like building, you have to have several concomitant causes to really end up to this more fatal and tragic and acute events. So it's a sort of, let's say that this is like the drops that completely fills up the vase.
Yeah.
And this is what we're talking about. There are tiny little drops in our everyday life that eventually causes the heart attack.
Really, really interesting speaking with you. Claudia Monaco is Professor of Cardiovascular Inflammation at the University of Oxford. Thanks for your time. By the way, if you happen to come across someone who is having a heart attack, obviously call emergency services immediately. And if you have an aspirin, give them an aspirin to chew on while they wait for the ambulance.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.